You're very welcome to Lorna Parker here on WLR. Tomás McCarthy here till 7 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, Belfast Bound, Brian Flannery on Waterford's trip to Antrim in the National Hurling League, Child's Play, Fergal Hartley and Brian O'Halloran on the new Well Kids programme, and Top Gunner, winner of the WLR Granville Hotel GA Award for January, Billy O'Keefe.
Lovely ball into Gleeson in space, coming near to D. What can the Mount Sinai man do? Takes his shot. Oh, back in the net by Ozzy Gleeson. Class personified, lovely movement there. Got into space, outside the D, top of the right-hand corner, pick it out of the net. Great score, Ozzy.
So the Waterford Hurlers look to protect their unbeaten record in the National League when they travel to Corrigan Park to face Antrim on Sunday. It will be our George Corbett scored a big match here on WLR. Kieran O'Connor and Humphrey Kelleher will be in the commentary box for live coverage from 12:45. Well, to take a look ahead to this round three clash, delighted to welcome back to the show former Daisha defender and Munster Express writer Brian Flannery. First of all, Brian, during your own playing days, did you have any experience of coming up against Antrim in their own backyard?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you go back to 2002, we actually went, Justin McCarthy took us to Antrim for a whole weekend, and we played them in Dunloy in a challenge game on the Saturday. But I suppose for that panel of players who we went on to win the Munster Championship that year, that weekend in Antrim will always be kind of regarded as a turning point for that panel. Really brought the team together, and you know, Antrim is an absolutely beautiful county, North Antrim Coast. I've been there a couple of times since. It's a great trip if anybody is planning holidays, and you know, it really is brilliant to see in, you know, a small part of the country, and just as I said, the glens of Antrim, the love that they have for hurling. And you know, I suppose, look, you're always trying to be careful not to be patronizing, but you know, to keep hurling at such a standard and to survive and to thrive, you know, in some of those clubs, Cushion Dáil, Dunloy, some famous clubs up Lough Eel, Shamrocks, Donovan Rossa in the city. You know, it's quite an achievement, and considering how far they have to travel south for, you know, challenge games, etc. It is a great credit to everybody involved, I suppose, in Antrim. But yeah, very fond memories of I suppose, travelling to Antrim, and I suppose that particular weekend, the game itself was secondary.
Yeah, Brian, can you remind us, or can you remind our listeners what happened off the field that weekend that brought you so close together?
No tales from Antrim, I'm afraid. there was a few of my city colleagues ended up driving a tractor at the small hours of the morning anyway, but I'm glad to say nobody ended up being injured and everybody walked away smiling. So, you know, it was, I suppose, look, when, and it was almost like, I suppose, a nightmare of a trip. I think we left Waterford on a Friday afternoon at like 3 o'clock, and we landed in the North Antrim Coast at midnight. So it was, you know, not quite planes, trains and automobiles, but it was certainly trains and buses before we arrived in our destination. So I think there was certainly a bit of divilment over the weekend, and certainly late that Friday night was a bit of certainly a bit of bonding that certainly had paid dividends as the year went out. But yeah, look, all great memories, to be honest.
Yeah, brilliant memories there, Brian, and I'm sure Liam Cahill's side will be strictly on business this weekend when they make the trip up to Belfast. And at the start of the campaign, Brian, Liam Cahill really set out his stall that he wanted to reach the league semi-finals while also introducing some fresh faces to the senior inter-county setup. Which of those new additions have impressed you the most so far?
Yeah, look, I suppose the you know, the feature of the league so far, and we're a couple of games in, is, I suppose, that combination of the, I suppose, the more experienced players, your Stephen Bennett's, your Austin's, your Connor Prunty's, having Tadhg Na Bhfirca back in. These are pillars that you can build around. Obviously, I think young Tom Barron has impressed hugely since he's come into the team. Kieran Kerwin, I suppose, is another one. And having watched both Tom Barron and Kieran Kerwin in the Fitzgibbon Cup with WIT, I think they were rewarded for the performances there. And they've really impressed, as has Carrick Daly, I suppose, coming into the middle of the field. Again, he's an exciting young player. You know, I suppose they've been watching him in Lismore for quite some time, but he adds that, I suppose, athleticism. But what I love watching him is he has the ability to score as well. Kieran Kerwin is somewhat unorthodox, but really gives Liam Cahill something different, you know, in relation to the full forward line. He's very direct when he wins the ball, very aggressive, very strong. And has shown, I suppose, what he's added to his game in the last year or two is his finishing ability has certainly improved hugely. You know, there are players that have come in and impressed. And, you know, I think we're likely to see a few more players get their opportunity this weekend. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned Michael Kiley from Abbeyside and his heroics in the Fitzgibbon Cup. You know, so everything is, there's huge positive, I suppose, vibes around the Waterford senior panel. And again, you'll probably have in a week or two, we'll have the Ballygunner contingent back in contention as well. So it's all very positive. And I think the way the league has fallen, you know, the first three games, Dublin, Laois, Antrim, probably gives the opportunity to you know, blood a few players into the side with, you know, mouth-watering games against Tipperary at Welsh Park and Kilkenny then in the last game. So Waterford are perfectly set up at this stage of the league.
I was just going to mention Michael Kiley, Brian, and you bring him up there. Like, he was taken off early against Laois. I think Liam Cahill saw that he wasn't bringing the right energy levels, rested him, and it really paid off because he got those dramatic late goals for UL as they won the Fitzgibbon Cup. Could he force his way into the team come the summer, do you think?
Yeah, look, he's a young player that has caught the eye at underage, a minor and under 20 in the last year or two. Played a role last year in the championship, made a difference when he came on against Laois at a tricky stage of the game up in Nolan Park in the championship last year. I think he's a player that's going to be looking to, you know, to increase his game time. He's a player that has championship ability, and I think that's undoubted. I think, in fairness, the Waterford manager, it's a tricky thing to try, I suppose, manage players at this time of the year when they're playing, I suppose, midweek games with in Fitzgibbon. And I think if you can avoid using players while they're still involved in Fitzgibbon, that is the best option. And I think, in fairness, the last day, I think they made an early decision that, look, wasn't quite at the pace of the game. But he's a proven championship caliber player. And I think he's going to have a big year, and he's a real option. And I suppose he's another scoring forward. That's what, you know, to augment the likes of Stephen Bennett, Austin, we've mentioned, Desi Hutchinson, Patrick Curran, I think scored 1-7 from play the last time out. You know, there's a lot of players showing great form. And it's just to add that extra bit of, I suppose, scoring prowess when you're in serious championship games when you need it. And I think Michael Kiley has already proven that he's a big game player. And, you know, you'd really look forward to him later on in the year, perhaps.
Absolutely, Brian. And one player we were looking forward to seeing more of was Mark Fitzgerald, who made his league debut against Laois, got a point in the second half, unfortunately suffered a broken jaw last weekend on under-20 duty. How much of a setback is that to him?
Look, he's a very young player. He's a player, again, that would have been flagged as potential for senior inter-county. You know, it's always a setback injury. And I suppose, look, this time of the year, it's you know, it is difficult. I suppose the positive from his point of view, look, he is young. It is early in the year. You know, look, he looked well when he came on against Laois. I'm not even sure whether he's a you know, half back, midfield, half forward. He's an all round player that can play anywhere. But, you know, you just wish him a speedy recovery, because he's a player that has a great future. But I think could even again push himself into the likes of Mark Fitzgerald, Tom Barron. All these players will be trying to push themselves into the first 26 come championship time. And as I said, look, it really looks like this could be a very, very strong Waterford senior panel for the come championship time. And that's what Waterford will need when you're playing the Munster Championship, when you have games coming Sunday after Sunday, when you may pick up injuries and you may need to, I suppose, go down the depth chart a little bit and players will be required.
Obviously, Brian, the priority is, you know, building a squad for that Munster Championship, that round robin. But how important is it, do you think, for Waterford to go deep into this competition?
I think it is. Like, I mean, there's only three trophies you can win: the All-Ireland, the Munster Championship and the league, in probably in that order of importance. So, you know, I think confidence is important going into the championship. And I think, as I said, look, it's, please God, they'll get over the Antrim challenge this weekend, and then you have a mouthwatering game and perhaps a top of the table clash with Tipperary in Welsh Park. You know, that's really one to look forward to. And then you finish with a trip to Nolan Park against Kilkenny. That's ideal preparation for the first round of the Munster Championship on Easter Sunday. But I think confidence, you know, Liam Cahill is constantly talking about wanting to remain unbeaten when he's playing in Welsh Park, wanting to win as many games as possible. And I think they've really managed it brilliantly in relation to, you know, being very competitive, winning games while still introducing and giving, I suppose, panel members an opportunity to impress. It's not always easy to, I suppose, to introduce large number of players and still remain competitive. And I think they've managed it brilliantly so far.
It's a big weekend on the field, Brian, in terms of league action, hurling and football, camogie as well. But it's also a big weekend off the field because GAA Congress will take place on Saturday at the Connacht GAA Air Dome. And there are a number of motions looking to move the minor grade from under 17 back to the traditional under 18. And there's also a motion from the GAA looking to create an under 19 grade at inter-county level for a trial period of 3 years. What are your thoughts on that matter?
Yeah, look, I suppose it's there's been a lot of comment on in relation to the changes. I suppose traditionally we would have had an underage structure where it was under 12, 14, 16, minor at 18, and you played under 21. The change that came about, moving minor back to under 17, the big win there for county boards in particular was that it took that 17-year-old out of adult hurling, and it made it an awful lot easier to schedule games. And that was, the big win. The downside and difficulty is when a kid comes out of under 17, when the following year they're 18 years of age, you know, where do they go? Can they be assimilated in at adult hurling? And I suppose what we've seen from experience is the elite players, the very good players, will always be accommodated. They'll go on, they'll play in their club senior panel or whatever. It's the average player, it's the general club player. A lot of them aren't, I suppose, physically, mentally, are just good enough to make that step into adult hurling. And it's coming that little bit early. So there is certainly an issue. It is interesting. I know Michael Deignan had been writing in the Mail on Sunday recently about it, that in Offaly they have an under 19 competition which they run during the summer to accommodate players in that bracket. That's certainly something that is worth considering. I think in general, from 7 to 17, we have a fantastic schedule of games, but it's just that transition period from minor into adulthood that is, you know, that is difficult. But I think sometimes some of us look with rose-tinted glasses about what things were 20 or 30 years ago, you know, because it's grand talking about under 18 and under 21. Let's be honest, the club under 21 championship was always an afterthought that was played in November, December, and sometimes January. You also had, I suppose, going back to years, most of the competitions were, you know, for kids at that age were straight knockout. So Harty Cup was straight knockout. Lads that were stepping into Fitzgibbon Cup, again, it was straight knockout competitions. There's just more games in all of these, I suppose, different areas. And it's difficult to accommodate everything. So I think county boards will be reluctant to move away from minor at under 17 because it just keeps, you know, it keeps it separate from adult games and adult scheduling. So that's a difficult one. The fix may well be an under 19 competition, but clubs would need to support that. Then if you were running an under 19 competition during the summer, would club senior managers, etc., be interfering or want players playing in it? You got to, I suppose, look at what you're trying to solve. Is it trying to provide sufficient game time for kids in that 18, 19 age bracket, or what exactly you're trying to fix? There was a player development report, which unfortunately was probably just launched before the start of the pandemic back in this November, December 2019, that, you know, for anybody that's interested in underage or underage coaching, is certainly very much worth reviewing, which gave a very structured player pathway from all the different age groups. And I think maybe we sometimes focus too much on you know, adult and senior, and you know, not maybe what's best for the individual players. But there's certainly, it's trying to transition from that underage into adult. There is an issue there at the moment. Moving minor back to under 18 and going for an under 21 championship, I'm not so sure is going to solve all those problems either. But it's a, you know, look, it's a worthy debate.
Well, would you like to see more meaningful games at under 19, under 20 level, Brian, rather than tweaking the minor age grade?
Absolutely. But it would need support from the clubs. You know, my fear is, okay, and I said, look, Offaly have, Michael Dagan spoke about it, Offaly do it. They play an under 19 championship, they play it midweek. But then you've got to have your club managers, your club senior, junior, intermediate, you know, being au fait with that and supporting it and allowing players then to play midweek those games. That's what has to happen. And unfortunately, we've seen managers just tend to look at their own corner and their own teams. They're not as, you got to try look at, I suppose, the bigger picture, and what you're trying to achieve is to provide games for kids in that age bracket, that 18, 19 age bracket that are maybe not quite strong enough to play adult hurling yet. And as I said, sometimes when you know, club officials and club guys are talking about, they're thinking about, oh yeah, look, if it was minor, I want Johnny playing, our county minor playing on our club intermediate team. But, you know, I think it's the elite players, the best players will always be fine. They will always be looked after. It's the, you know, it's the greater good. It's the bulk of players who are not in that age bracket that are currently, some of them are, you know, subs in a junior team, subs in a second team or a third team, not good enough to make a senior panel. Are they getting enough game time? Are they being accommodated? Probably not. An under 19 structure may well be the answer, and it's certainly worth trying. As I said, I'm not so sure just saying let's go back to under 18 at minor, let's go back to under 21, you know, I'm not so sure that's the solution either, because as I said, the under 21 championship was, you know, at club level, you know, was very hit and miss and an afterthought. Moving minor to under 18 does give, you know, it gives an extra year of, I suppose, solid games for 18-year-olds. But the same problem then is the year after when they're 19. So, look, I think maybe somewhere in between, maybe if there was a proper under 19 league or structure for clubs and clubs supported it. But it needs to be about thinking, look, what are you trying to achieve here? Is it provide games? Is it trying to win championships? You know, are your adult managers in your club going to support it? There's solutions there, but you know, I don't think the easy thing maybe to say, oh well, look, let's just reverse everything and go back the way things were. You know, as I said, when you look back at it, a lot of championships that was played, the Munster Minor Championship when it was under 18 was straight knockout. You know, you had a lot less games. It's not, you're not quite comparing like with like. 7-17, we've very good structures in general. But it's just that transition period needs a little bit more thought, but needs support from clubs as well. Clubs need to come with, I suppose, solutions. And I'm not so sure just reversing back to where we were 5, 10, 15 years ago is going to provide the solution either.
Well, former Daisha defender and Munster Express writer Brian Flannery, thanks so much for your time today.
Cheers, Tomás.
Austin Gleeson giving the side to Billy. Billy gives it into Stephen Bennett. What a goal with Billy Power to Stephen Bennett. Stephen Bennett back at the net. When Bennett gets those chances, he doesn't miss, and a great goalie like Ender Rowland, all he can do is pick it out of the net.
Now you're hurling Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, the Waterford footballers will go in search of their first win in Division 4 when they welcome Andy Moran's Leitrim to Farfield on Sunday at 2 o'clock. The Daisha lost to Carlow by 4 points last weekend, and manager Evie Fitzgerald wants his team to throw off the shackles this time around.
They have a very good attitude. The one thing about this bunch is they're very, very quiet, you know, and I suppose, you know, when you're losing games year on year there, and you know, I find it very difficult. It's hard to get that kind of cockiness that you need for this level, you know. They're, you know, at times they're a very quiet dressing room, so we want to express themselves more. You know, I thought the work rate in the second half there, you saw in the last few minutes there, Halland and Corky running after those guys. You know, the will is there. It's just the belief to be able to do it on a more consistent basis, because I think in this division, we can be as competitive as ever. We haven't played any team, you know, that have played us off the park. So from that point of view, we have to be happy. Would we like a few more points? Yeah, but it is what it is at the end of the day, you know. But I was looking for a reaction in the second half from the guys, and they got that. So, you know, that's a positive for us. And, you know, we did stay in the huddle there, but that was more to do with our improvements in the second half rather than, you know, overanalyzing the game. Because I do think, you know, when we play, I think we have as good footballers and as anybody else has in the division. It's just a case of getting it out of them on a more consistent basis.
Lorne Napoca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.